Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer Distributors, suppliers of world-class ales and lagers. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, it's February 2015. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 in the Good Beer Sale. And I am so happy tonight we're leading into New York City Beer Week. And Jimmy Ludwig from the Happy Hour Guys is back in studio.
I am back in studio. Thanks for having me, Jimmy.
It's Dude, my wingman. I've been missing my wingman for a long time.
Always great to be back in the wingman chair, man. It's great.
And my other, my wing lady friend, Ann Becerra, known as Ann Likes Beers, back in the show, too.
Wing lady friend. I like that. Thanks for having me back.
That's a lot of syllables right
there. Well, it's always wingman, but, you know. But could she be a wingman?
Wing person. There you go.
Or like wing. And we decided there for February, leading up to New York City Beer Week, which is coming February 20th, we're going to try to talk about a bunch of New York kind of serious themes, like growing hops and grains in New York State and some of the beers that are made with them. So Justin did a great job, booked a really cool guy, this dude, Dietrich Gehring, who's up there at Indian Ladder Farms in up near Albany. So he's on the show today, too. So we're going to be talking about a lot of New York State themes. And but Beer Week's coming up, Jimmy and Ann. So, you know, there's a lot of cool things happening. Do you have any special events that you'll be part of for New York City Beer Week?
I'm definitely going to get into the Brewer's Choice, try and wander around there a little bit, say hello to some old friends and make some new ones. I mean, that's one of the best things about New York City Beer Week is that you're reconnecting with people you've known for a long, long time, and you're also meeting new people who are just coming into the industry.
Well, you stole my answer. It's so funny, though. Like, if you go to Brewer's Choice for beer, you have to have someone bring it to you because you can't walk, you know, more than 10 seconds without running into someone, and you're stopping. I probably get about 10 feet in 3 hours.
There's a lot of talking and not much drinking. Yeah. But we catch up when we can. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because when we started that, I remember Ray Dieter, Dave Brodick, we started that event. This is the fifth year, New York City Brewer's Choice. And it was like, we want to have a special party for New York City Beer Week with the brewers themselves and food pairings. And I'm glad that you guys like it. And I'll give a push for it. Check it out, NewYorkCityBrewersChoice.com. It's once again the marquee event for New York City Beer Week. But what's really special about it is the time with the New York ingredients is that last year, Grow NYC, they have their regional grains project. And, you know, they've got farmers growing, you know, grains that can be turned into malt for beer. And there are a lot of challenges that went along with that. But this year, with Kelly Taylor, the president of New York City Brewers Guild, he went with that. And he's got a bunch of New York City breweries making an all-New York State hop and malt beer called Smash State Malts and State Hops beer. So
fantastic.
Everyone's really getting into this New York State ingredient thing. So on that note, I mean, someone who's on the forefront of this, Dietrich Gehring, you know, you're up there in Albany, and tell us what you do.
Well, we're a fifth generation apple farm, and we started about 4 years ago. We put in an acre of hops, and we started fooling around with growing barley in New York State, which hadn't been done in about 200 years. So there was quite a learning curve there, and I think we've gotten a good handle on that. So this year we were able to supply hops and barley to a couple of breweries. One was down here in Brooklyn, the other half, and
nice.
They made an excellent stout for us. It was sort of a collaboration project. Sam came up with a recipe of a really hop-forward, all New York State stout.
Hop-forward? That's so weird for them.
Yeah, I know. It was a stretch for them. And but no, it had a fantastic, you know, stout mouthfeel, and I'm not a huge stout fan, and you know, and I was really looking forward to an IPA, and Sam said, you know, we're thinking about doing a stout, and you know, if Sam says he's going to do something, I'm not really going to say, you know, no. go ahead.
Let's go back to Beer 101. You know, we got some great Jimmy and Ann, some beer experts here, but Beer 101, let's start with hops.
Okay.
Growing hops, tell us your story and
well, we started, you know, I put some hops in 25 years ago on our farm, you know, home brewer, you know, kind of things, hobby type stuff. And, about 4 years ago, we decided, well, let's, you know, we're on a farm here, let's try to do it commercially. And so, of course, you know, anytime you try to do anything commercially, it's, you know, it's very successful as a hobby. But, you know, as soon as you get into the commercial aspect, you discover, you know, all the expenses and so on that go along with it.
Was there one particular thing that just popped up as being a real stumbling block that you didn't see coming?
Well, it was really the disease pressure after a couple of years. You know, when you put in like a large, you know, we put in an acre and, you know, no problem. You know, first year, everything was beautiful. Second year, no problem. Third year, all of a sudden, we're into disease, you know, because hops, you're really into a monoculture. Uh-huh. So, you know, you have a lot of pressure there. So, you know, now we're into, you know, figuring out how to spray and deal with, you know, these kind of things. And downy mildew is the biggest thing we have here in the Northeast. Huh. Due to the fact that we're humid. You know, they grow out in Yakima perfectly because they get 8 inches of rain all year.
Oh, it's much drier.
Yeah, you know, and so we, you know, I think over a summer we get 40 inches. And you know, our humidity is, as you know, yep. New York City, it's not much different upstate. Huh. So we can be at 90%, and it turns out downy mildew really likes that.
So, I think I dated her in college.
Yeah. That's my drag queen alter ego.
But, you know, it's not something that we can't overcome. It's a management issue. So, yeah. You know, New York State hop farmers are going to figure this out, and we're working towards that. And also, I think, you know, because we're doing smaller acreage in New York State, we have the ability to do some different things, whereas, you know, if you're a 700-acre commodity hop farm out in Yakima, you can't pay attention to individual, you know, niche varieties and so on. So there's already some things like, you know, like our centennials and stuff are already testing with higher oil values and stuff. And we're not sure why that might be. It might just be because they're stressed. And that's just, you know, a bonus. Because when we look at Yakima oil values, they're at a certain level, and ours are pretty high. Hmm. So we don't know if that's forward, if that's going to be an advantage or a disadvantage.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we've interviewed on Long Island, you know, there's a number of hop growers in the state.
Yep.
And I want you to fill me in on that. But John Conzella, Conzella Farms on Long Island, we had him on 2 years ago, and he was trying to raise money for a hop harvesting machine.
Yeah, well, I know John well, mainly because of his hop harvesting machine. Hop harvesting is it's a bottleneck. You know, it's like you think you have a lot of friends when you have an acre of hops, and it turns out you pick for a couple of years, and by the third year, nobody shows up. Doesn't matter how much beer or food there is, and it's a hot, dirty job.
How many people do you need, if you're hand harvesting hops for an acre, how many people do you need to do the job?
An acre? An acre is about 1,000 hills, and it takes about one man hour per hill.
Wow.
And if you have 6 different varieties, that's going to be over a period of possibly 5 weeks. So you have to have people come in, you know, over that period of time. So mechanical harvesting, once you get pretty much past a half an acre, is something you really need to have. So we've been working with John, and in fact, our wolf harvester is coming from Poland Thursday.
Wow.
Which is this 5-ton machine that has to be unloaded at our house with a crane. So, you know.
And what's the investment involved with something like that?
Ah, right? It's peanuts. It's like, you know, $30,000-$50,000 by the time we're done.
I got it right here.
You know, so if you could help out, that'd be great. Yeah, that's why John did a Kickstarter or Indiegogo.
Wow.
To do that. We were fortunate enough to have an investor that was willing to kick in on that, and plus we got some grant money because we're going to be a regional hop picking facility. Hmm. Because, you know, 50,000 is a big nut. So if you are an acre, you're really not picking that by hand. So in order for small farms to exist in our region, we really need to have, you know, picking facilities. So we sort of stepped up to that plate, and so we've got about 5 farmers that have between. We got a couple guys that got a quarter acre, half acre. We got one guy who's got 5 acres. So they'll use our machine. They'll be able to use our oast, dry it, and then bale it, and then they're kind of on their own what they're going to do with it.
Huh.
How did you meet Other Half? Because you made that great beer with them, the Indian Ladder style.
Other Half was just a serendipitous kind of thing. I was speaking about hops at the at the Cary Center for Global Good in Rensselaer, and I was kind of complaining about how I wasn't finding a good market for my hops, and I think it was Matt Sam and Matt were there, and they hadn't even opened yet last year, and one of them said, "We'll buy all of them." I was like, hey, we need to talk after the show, you know, and
conversation.
And he actually wasn't kidding.
He was not kidding, and I was kind of complaining because, you know, they hand out these surveys at the ends, and I do a lot of these, you know, hop talks and barley lecture type things. And they're saying, well, you want to do an evaluation. And I said, you know, the problem with these things is when we go to these, we talk about beer, but there's never any beer. And that's what's nice about this show. There's actually some beer.
And, in case you didn't hear the sturdy clinging glasses seconds ago.
And Sam said, oh, well, we got beer, but we didn't see any here, so it's out in the truck. So I was like, hey, we're going out. We started drinking beer in the parking lot out of his. We're tailgating out there. So
there you go.
Worked out good.
So, Dietrich, we're drinking your beer right now.
Yes.
So, what you have more plans? So, you guys are you're farming hops.
Well,
you're also want to have a farmhouse brewery.
Yeah, we're going to do the. We're in the process of getting our farmhouse brewery license. We should be only a few weeks away, according to our lawyer. We're doing a farmhouse brewery and cidery, and we're going to do some hop forward beers since we have, you know, we'll have a couple acres of hops, but we're also going to do some sour, some fruit beers because we are on a large fruit farm and
take advantage of what you got, right?
Yeah.
And what fruits you have? Several fruits that you grow.
Yeah, well, berries. We're primarily apples. We have about 90 acres of apples, but we also have 5 acres of blueberries, and we have pick-your-own raspberries, and we have some cherries, strawberries, heirloom tomatoes. I'm not sure how that goes into beer yet, but you know,
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
We got to plan a field trip soon.
I want to go to there.
Same.
Yes. I want to go to there.
And we want you to come.
Great. Done.
So is this like it's more than a hops revival. This is kind of like a farm brewery, New York ag revival, isn't it?
Yeah, it really, you know, gets into the whole local food thing. Yeah. I mean, that's really what's driving this, you know, is people's interest in where their food comes from, knowing their farmer. You know, it's huge. You know, it's like if you can actually go to the farm and shake the farmer's hand, you know, and it's like then you really know where your food comes from. You're comfortable, you know.
Yeah.
And,
amen.
Uh-huh. You know, whether it's, you know, conventional or organic, I mean, just knowing that person has a family and they live there, and, you know, that's huge, I think, to people.
And they get up every day and they get, you know, before dawn and go to work for that.
Exactly.
And you brought your partner, Stuart. So Stuart, tell us what you do. So you guys are taking over the world one crop of hops at a time?
Well, we're trying to. I have a wine background working. I came out of Charmer. I was there since 1988, and I worked in every capacity. And I basically know the downstate market, so we're going to try to take care of upstate and downstate. And
do you think you're going to be – you're going to be a farmhouse brewery and cidery, right?
Yes.
Right. Are you going to use most of the ingredients that you grow in your own beers?
For the most part, what we're doing was we're going to do a 15-barrel brewery, and we really, you know, when we did the calculations on it, we really want to go to be an estate brewery. So we're trying to grow as much as we possibly can on the farm to meet the, you know, that 100%. But
okay, that kind of blew my mind just now. I don't know that I've heard estate brewery before.
Yeah, that's
a very fancy term.
Yeah,
it is.
But you know, you have estate wineries, and people stand by that, you know, as something of import. But
right.
You don't get that in the beer industry until now, right? Until these days, when people the locavore movement is pushing that.
That sounds very near. It's not Michigan, Jim.
Hey, I will say there are some estate breweries in Michigan as well. Some people that are approaching that, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really where we want to be. But we're going to put in 2 acres of hops, and so if we have a really good year, we'll have, you know, hops to sell to other people.
Wow.
That's sort of where we're at.
I guess I didn't really know that the harvesting of hops was that labor intensive. I knew it was pretty heavy duty, but I didn't know it was that heavy.
It's huge. You know, it's like in the 1860s, you know, they used to hand out flyers in New York City, and the hop growers in Madison County would actually, you know, charter trains of people just to go pick hops for 6 weeks. You know, they had these little towns that came up, and you know, people met their husbands and wives, and this was a huge. Huge industry.
I'm pretty sure that was Jimmy's great-great-grandfather. The Carbonis.
The harvest, the hop dances.
It's in his genes.
it's like wine in the south of France, right? They would just have all the students go and spend their time harvesting.
Yeah, and it was perfect timing.
So there's like this little window, right? Like, so from the time when the hops are ready, how long do you have to harvest them? I mean, don't they start to rot or something?
Oh yeah,
they're almost like berries, right?
They're a very short period of time. Hops, I think it's 12 hours you have before you have to get them in the dryer or in the brew kettle. I mean, you can make wet hop beers, but they got to go right to the kettle, and they have to be dried to be stabilized. Otherwise, they start to they heat up. Is what happens, and the lupulin inside starts to deteriorate. It actually rots.
Wow.
So you've got to get them dried.
What kind of challenges have you run into with barley? Can we move on to barley, Jimmy? Is that all right?
He can start, but then we're going to take a break.
I got to clear everything with him. You know, I'm just a wingman.
Well, barley was another crop that really, you know, we grew in New York State 200 years ago, and we don't grow anymore, and it was just like hops. I said, you know, if you go into farming to be a hop farmer or barley farmer in New York State, it's not like going in to be a dairy farmer. So if you're a dairy farmer, young guy, you want to be a dairy farmer, you can go down the street in a rural area, and you can talk to a dairy farmer. And here, you know, there is no...
There's no support network.
There's no old dude to ask. They're all dead. They've been dead for 150 years, wow. You know, so there is nobody. You can't go to Cornell. Because there's nobody there who has any know-how. So it's pretty much learning a whole industry over again. We can grow small grains in New York. That's proven. We grow barley. We grow wheat. But, you know, brewer's barley is it's for human consumption. And there's a few issues that have to be dealt with. One is we have something called Fusarium head blight. And if you have
Gesundheit.
Bless you.
Well, no, it gets worse than that. If you have Fusarium head blight in above one part per million in your testing, it creates something called vomit toxin. And it's exactly what it sounds like.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I definitely dated her in college.
It will make you sick.
Oof.
So we have to have controls in order to deal with
that.
So
you're not talking about just animal feed?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
You can still feed it to animals if you get to 5 parts per million, but even if you get beyond that, it'll make animals sick. So we have to
keep
that
down. I'll tell you what. We're going to come back after a short break. We're going to talk with Dave Catalesi from Empire up in Syracuse. And then later on, we'll also tackle this New York State grain thing. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Yeah.
Today's break song called Dream Crisis by Sea Point. This is Beer Sessions Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. Hey, guess what? We've been doing this for 5 years now. We've had over 250 shows.
Woohoo!
And a big part of that's our Jack Inslee, our executive producer, engineer.
Yes.
He's in the studio over there. Jack, rock on, buddy. And the funny thing is that we're still going, and we love it. And we got better guests than ever, better, Justin, our great producer, and Maggie, and Jimmy, you've been on how many times? At least like 20, right?
I've lost count, somewhere
and
in there,
Sarah,
yeah.
You've been on a few times, so.
Probably, yeah.
Many times.
Yeah.
So we got a great community, and when we set out, the original idea was, hey, let's get together and build a little community, and we come out here to Roberta's in Bushwick, and we hang out on the show, and afterwards we have dinner, usually pizza, or in the old days, a steak for two. Maybe you guys want to step up this time.
A few steaks for two.
But one guy who's been on quite a few times, and it's almost like his history has been the history of the New York State Brewers Association and Farm Brewery License, is our good buddy Dave Kataleski, the owner of Empire Brewing in Syracuse. Dave, how are you?
I'm well. Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
Dude, it's so good to have you on the show, man. This month we're talking all about New York State beer. So thanks for coming on.
I think every month should be dedicated to New York State beer.
So taking a step back, I know that this is the second year in a row you've made a special beer for Beer Week with some of the women in beer from New York City.
We did. We actually made two beers. One is our second rendition of Sweetfire, and I'll let the girls talk about that, which we're very excited about. This is a brainchild of some of the girls that we have solid relationships with throughout New York City and some of the more recognizable beer bars and restaurants. And the beer, I just sampled it a little while ago, and it tastes phenomenal, and we're excited to have it back. We also are making, for the Brewer's Choice, a smash beer with all New York State ingredients, New York State malt and New York State hops, so we're excited about that as well.
Great. So tell us about your new brewery plan. So you're opening a farmhouse brewery in Cazenovia.
Yep, we are. We're actually breaking ground on St. Patrick's Day, which we're pretty stoked about.
Luck of the Irish.
We need all the luck we can get, number one. number two, we want to christen the ground with some of our good award-winning Irish stout. So that'll be fun. We hope to be open to the public by the end of this year. It's been
that's an aggressive schedule.
It's aggressive. We are shovel ready. It's about a 30,000 square foot facility that is 22 acres, and it's truly an agritourism component. We're going to try to grow as much of the ingredients that we possibly can on site. We're working directly with Morrisville State College, and have implemented, or working with them on implementing a brewing studies program. And there'll be some externship and internship, between, our business and their facility. So I think it's going to be a nice, overall really exciting project. And the girls that were involved with the Sweetfire had an opportunity to walk around the property a couple of weeks ago when they made the beer and got to see firsthand exactly what we're doing.
I'm so excited.
So Ann Becerra's here. So
hi, Ann. David.
Hey, Ann. Hi, how are you?
Fabulous.
Tell us about your experience. So you went up to Empire, you made a special beer.
It's so appropriate that we're talking about this beer in this in this episode, because one of the things that I love so much about Empire and why we love to go up there is just that understanding of how important it is to know your producers, your suppliers, your growers. I eat everything on the menu. You see on the back of their menu all of the businesses they support, all of the farmers they support, and just to have that community upstate in a place where agriculture used to be so such a great industry is wonderful, and I'm so excited. The new place, it was all snow covered, obviously, but the place is beautiful. The town is great, and it's going to be awesome.
So, Lindsay from George Keeley. So, you're one of the newer members of this Sweetfire collaboration.
Yeah, it's my first year up there. It was amazing. Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm okay. Happy to be here.
Excellent. Looking forward to seeing you during New York Beer Week.
Yes. Excited.
That's going to be a great week, New York Beer Week.
So what is Sweetfire? I mean, who else went up? So
yeah, Ann, talk to us about it.
Lindsay from George Keeley. So some of the, our top beer bars in New York City.
Is Olivia on the phone right now?
I am.
Hi.
Olivia.
Hi, Olivia. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I know that the girls and the women and the ladies is being thrown around a lot. That was an accident. You know, we were all at an event at Brooklyn Brewery. It was a charity event. And myself, Catherine Kyle from Blind Tiger, Jen Torriero from Spring Lounge, Haley Jensen at Tap Room. You know, there was a whole crew of us that were just talking and saying, you know, we need to get up to Empire. We need to try to do something together. And I think if Andy Marcelli from Italy's schedule would have cleared, he probably would have been there. And it would, I mean, it wasn't, it just happened organically, you know, and we all work at these great bars and we wanted to do something together and it turned out fantastic.
So what's the beer this year?
Chocolate Chili Imperial Stout. And it is
okay.
Yeah, it's very, very balanced. You know, you get that big roasty cocoa character, and then just that little kick of heat at the end. But it works around.
So
8%.
Talking about Beer Week, so this is a big part of Beer Week. So you guys are rolling it out at a couple bars. Where can I taste the Sweetfire beer?
Olivia, you want to take that? You know all the places.
Yeah, you can. So the bars that we're involved, those are going to be the only bars that it's served at. So this year we have George Keeley's. We have Taproom 307, we have Spring Lounge, we have the Blind Tiger, and we have Pony Bar. So those are going to be the five bars that you can get it at.
Pony Bar East or West?
West.
West, okay.
Pony Bar West, yeah. All right. And we're doing the launch for it at the Blind Tiger the night before Beer Week, just so, you know, everyone's schedule
February
is so
19th.
Crazy. So February 19th, we're launching the beer at the Blind Tiger.
I'll actually be bartending that, too. I'll be bartending that night.
I'll be behind the bar.
Hey.
Well, that's one thing. So, and since you guys are on this, and you know, you were a mainstay at the Ginger Man for a long time. Mm-hmm. But now you're doing a lot of cool things, some media stuff. Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, I've been really fortunate. We're doing, you know, able to just spread the word to craft beer newbies and people who are kind of just getting into it with Martha Stewart, Serious Eats, you know, a lot of these.
So you're writing?
I'm writing. I'm working at Blind Tiger. I'm over at the Pony Bar as well. And doing a lot more teaching classes and just kind of getting people excited in a really welcoming way. You know, it's not intimidating. It's not something that, you know, is snobby or something that everyone can enjoy. It's fun. It's, you know, it's food. It's agriculture. It's all the things we're talking about. And I love that I get to go talk about it.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah,
it should be fun. It shouldn't be snobby at all.
It is fun, right?
Yeah.
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 That's great. And Olivia and Dave, so, you know, you guys are up in Syracuse, but you have a nice little imprint in New York City. I mean, what's going to happen when you open the new farm, the brewery farmhouse? And just, you guys are really doing some cool stuff. So, Dave, just tell us more about the future, because you've been such an important part of New York State beer.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you saying that. It's definitely a collective effort. Well, you know, this is something that we've been around since 1994, so we're approaching our 21st birthday, and we thought, you know, maybe it was time we grew up a little bit and put some of our beers in a bottle. So this is going to be our first movement into packaging our product for retail sale, which is a major step for us. But we want to continue to, you know, press with our interest in supporting local businesses. So if you know anything about Cazenovia, it's a heavy in agricultural area. The majority of the food that we serve down at Empire currently in Syracuse comes from Cazenovia. So we are interested in having something around a 20-mile footprint for all of our carbon footprint for all of our food that we have in the tasting room. So there'll be a food component. There'll be a retail component. It's a real educational site, so that people will be able to see how beer is grown and then converted into the final product. So be able to smell, taste, see, feel. And, you know, the ultimate goal is to be able to get our beer through a greater distribution network, initially in New York State. But, you know, it might go beyond that. I just got back from China a couple of months ago, where we've teamed up with a Chinese tea company, and we're doing a major press release next Tuesday on a beer that we've made with Chinese tea.
Wow.
And ultimately, we are looking to distribute that throughout China. So it's kind of some cool stuff going on with Empire right now.
Huh. Wow. Very cool.
And then we can drink White Afro all the time at home. Yes.
Congratulations on the packaging, you guys. It's great.
Well, thanks. We're not there yet, but we're certainly getting
there. You're headed in that direction. Wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming on, man. It's you've really been such an important player in New York State, you know, craft beer. And anything legislation-wise coming up? I mean, you're the president of the New York State Brewers Association.
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of things that we're working on right now. It's really kind of fine-tuning the existing legislation to make sure that all of the laws that we've passed over the last decade are working. I think one of the areas of opportunity right now is the farm brewery legislation. I have a meeting with Chairman Rosen and Chief Counsel Tom Donahue on Friday with our Executive Director of the New York State Brewers Association, Paul Leone, and we're really going to take a look at the level of and quantities of ingredients in order to fulfill the requirements of the New York State farm brewers licensing and see whether or not they're realistic, if they have to be tweaked at all. And I think there might be some opportunities there to enable farm brewers to be successful with this type of license and this piece of legislation. So, yeah, there's definitely some changes. You know, there's another big movement on the FLA's part to eliminate pay-to-play. So we're really looking at that. Apparently there's some things that are going on that are against the rules of the FLA in the marketplace that have disrupted the the FLA is a little upset about it, but we'll see what they have to say in that regard, too. So who knows?
All right.
It's always something, man. It's always something.
Dave, just tell us one more thing about the Sweet Fire beer, because I want to try it on New York City Beer Week.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, we'll definitely bring some down for you.
All right, man. Thanks so much, Dave. Thanks, Olivia.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
And then, Lindsay, you know, so it's your first time on Beer Sessions Radio.
It is my first time.
So tell us a quick backstory. So you're one of those cool people that you're managing a bar in New York City, mm-hmm. which has a good beer focus, and you've been to some of the meetings we've hosted and talked about Beer Week.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit more about how you got started.
How I got started, actually, my cousin owns a large distributor in Northeast Pennsylvania, so I've been around craft beer. I think it's one of our family things when they have like big events. We go out and pour for festivals. And then I worked down the street from George Healy, and it was my favorite bar, and I got to try new beers every single time I went in. And when there was a position available, I started there. And then I just started like expanding my beer knowledge, and then eventually I was like, can I please take over the ordering? And that was probably about like 3.5 years ago, and it's fun. I get to meet new people, I get to try beers all the time. It's been a great experience. And I mean, the owners, Drew and Chris, are some of the best people you ever meet in your life.
Yeah, I mean, George Killy's is one of the good beer seal bars, and they've been since the beginning. And I guess because you're on the Upper West Side, you know, you're not in Brooklyn, people don't talk about it as much, but it's a great place.
I think so. We've got a couple places that I like opened up recently that are joining the craft beer up on the Upper West Side. I mean, Dive Bar has been there for years
as
well.
Time,
yeah. My favorite.
And what are some beers that you have on draft right now? Do you have any New York State beers?
We have another half. We just kicked an Empire. Sorry, guys.
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It means you can order more.
We definitely have an Ithaca downstairs. We've got an Ithaca cask that's coming on soon, a dry hopped flower power. We try to get some of, like, because most of the on the Upper West Side are strictly American craft, we do try to bring in some. Like, we've got a Barifico Chaos on right now, which is
nice.
Delicious.
Wow.
But definitely on February 23rd, when like Sweet Fire is on at Keeley's, we will have...
So that's your night.
Yeah, that'll be all New York.
February 23rd, go to George Keeley's.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right.
You can make it here, but you can't drink it anywhere. That's our motto that night.
I like it.
Well, guys, we're gonna take it. Thanks for coming on and talking about Sweet Fire. It's so great that you guys worked on that with Empire, and that's going to be one of the highlights of New York City Beer Week.
We think so. We hope so.
You guys are awesome. Hey, we'll take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes to talk more about New York State hops and grains on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Today's program brought to you by Union Beer Distributors. In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County,
through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. That's Union Beer Distributors, and you can learn more at greatbrewers.com. And this break song is called Jump Rope by the Ginger Lees.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions. Hey. So, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio.
That was you, wasn't it?
I know.
Did you do that? You did
that
track?
I sing in a girls' group sometimes.
Yeah, I've heard that about you.
I miss singing. But we're here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org, and thanks to our sponsors, Union Beer Distributors. What's so great about this show is that we're given all of February to talking about New York beers, New York mm-hmm. City beers, and grains and hops. We just talked with Dave Kowaleski from Empire.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
And he's expanding so that they can have a real farm brewery up there in Cazenovia, New York. And I know that Lindsay and Ann Becerra are here. They just went up and made a special beer for Beer Week. So we've covered a lot of bases tonight. And that was fun, wasn't it? You went up to Syracuse
gosh.
And Cazenovia.
Fantastic. We really
and what's the beer called again? It's Empire Sweetfire, right?
Sweetfire. It's named after their dish on their menu that was a sausage, like skillet sausages, and they were on the Diner Drive. What's the?
Oh yeah, that.
Diner's Drive and Zed.
Yeah. So it's one of their signature dishes.
One of those shows. We
yeah,
talk
and we're
about.
All sitting around. Well, whatever. We're all sitting around eating those, like eating and thinking, what are we going to name this? What is it? Oh, this sauce is just so good, Sweetfire. Oh my gosh, duh.
And Lindsay, you had a great time. You went up to Empire and made the beer too.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was such a good group of people to be up there. Like, from
so what do you do? Did you guys make the beer? You just hang out and talk about beer?
I mean, of course we yeah, we made the beer.
You wear boots?
Yeah. My leopard print $10 boots from Rainbow, yeah. You know, and Tim Butler is so talented. And there's, you know, Nate, the assistant brewer. It's you learn so much from those guys. And, you know, even if we didn't get to actually brew, which we did, we were lucky, it's still a learning experience just to hang out with them. They're so full of knowledge, so talented. You know, it's just very, very lucky to be a part of that. It's really cool.
Well, let's get back to the serious part of this month is that we're really trying to promote and talk about growing hops and grains in New York State and the challenge you face, but also getting breweries in New York to make beer with New York ingredients. And that's a big part of New York City Beer Week, the Smash State Malt and State Hops. Many New York City breweries are doing that. Mm-hmm. And our event, New York City Brewer's Choice, almost every brewery is making a beer with a proportion of New York State grain malt. So this is pretty exciting. But talking about grains, you know, our farmer's here. He was on the first segment. He's back in.
Dietrich.
Dietrich yeah. Gehring, the Indian Ladder Farm. So we asked you before, you talked about growing hops in New York. Now let's talk about what's it like growing grains for beer?
I'm not through with hops yet, but I'll go on to grain. Grain is something that, you know, there's a learning curve. There's a few steps to success, you know, that you need to do. You need to plan early. You need to be, you know, aware of Fusarium head blight. You need to know when to harvest. It needs to be harvested
Let's
earlier.
So what varieties are suited for growing in New York State?
Yeah, what kind of barley
can
you grow?
Good beer.
Yeah.
Well, we can grow most any of them. It's, you know, we're still finding that out through Cornell. They're doing a lot of tests. They're doing a lot of trials in the Hudson Valley. They're doing some out west. So they're finding, you know, what will do well.
This blight that you were talking about, is that something that's because of the humidity, like you were talking about before, or is that just ubiquitous? Is that something
ubiquitous.
Every grain
yeah,
farmer
it,
deals with
it
that.
It exists, and it's just, it has to be dealt with. You know, when the grain comes up what they call out of the boot, it opens up and it's open for open pollination. At that point, there's a five-day period that there isn't with other small grains, like with wheat and so on. If it rains in that five-day period, that Fusarium is in the soil. It splashes up. It closes. It's there. That's it.
Wow.
So either if you're organic, you don't do anything and you pray.
I think every farmer prays a lot.
There's a lot of that.
Is that like Christian Scientists? They don't go to doctors.
Yeah. I don't know that.
Stop right there, Jimmy. Stop right there. Just stop.
And not that it helps. But if you're conventional, then you have that 5-day window to spray. It gives you about a 30% boost. So basically, if you plant at you know, a certain date, you get like 20%. If you spray at a certain point, you get 30%. Uh-huh. If you harvest at a certain point, you've added another 40%.
But you don't have a barley, you don't have the barley mentors that you had, right? You were talking about that earlier in the show. You don't have the old guy down the block. So who do you go to? Is it Cornell?
It's pretty much Cornell. And at this point, we're like 3-4 years into it. So, you know, we pretty much understand now what has to be done. Mm-hmm. And as far as New York State farmers, it's going to be the guys that are already growing grain. If you're just like, you know, some dude who wants to just jump into it, the infrastructure is huge. You have to have dryers and combines. I mean, you know, it used to be a combine for a 20-acre farm was $20,000. Well, there are no 20-acre grain farms anymore, so a combine's $400,000. So if you are not in a grain-growing area, you are not jumping into that game.
I can't breathe. So $400,000. Yeah. I can't breathe.
But the challenge of hops was, so you guys, at least you could grow, start with a half acre and go to an acre.
Right.
But you're saying there's no infrastructure for a small grain farmer.
Not really, unless you are already a corn farmer and you have... Because the other problem is with barley is, especially brewer's barley, it has to be harvested at between 22 and 18%, which means you can't leave it in the field to dry. Huh. It has to be brought off the field and dry.
This is dumb, but 18 to 20% alcohol? No. What do you mean by 18 to 20%?
A moisture.
Oh, okay.
Moisture. We have this thing called a moisture meter.
We only know about alcohol percent.
Yeah, we pack this little thing and it tells us, you know, what our moisture is. And then we have to, in order for it to be stable, we have to dry it down to 12-14%.
Do you have like any type of little, what are they called? Small equipment that measures things?
Yeah. It's a moisture meter.
That's
meters.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. Yeah. Small equipment.
Yeah, that it's small equipment. It costs about $500. You know, it's like everything. Yeah, so it's really the guys who are already in the game that are going to be doing it. But that's not the biggest hurdle in the whole malting barley thing in New York State. We have a bottleneck in that we don't have any malting facilities.
You don't have a malt house.
You see that popping?
We have tiny ones. And if we're going to go to 90% by 2024 with the farm brewery law, then we need big malting facilities, and they need to be put in areas that are near like highway, you know, near the throughway, that a farmer can bring, you know, a large truck, you know, can bring 20 tons of barley, and then that 20 tons can be put in 50-pound bags once it's malted and distributed, you know, to the breweries that need it. And right now, you know, I'm only doing, you know, five, six acres, and I'm driving one ton at a time out to Newark Valley, out to Farmhouse Malt, out to Marty and Natalie out there. That's 2.5 hours one way. And, you know, so the trucking is huge, and they can only do one ton at a time. Huge bottleneck. You're not going to encourage farmers to grow a high-value crop unless they have some place to take it.
Do you see that happening? Do you see a malting facility being built? Is the market there?
Well, I think that if the farm brewery law says that these people have to be buying something, they're going to be clamoring for it, right?
But who's willing to take the risk, right? That's the question.
Well, it's your old chicken and egg, isn't it?
Well, how are
That's
you doing
it?
I mean,
isn't it? Chicken, egg, I know that.
But you're right, man, and I've heard this, and you're right. I mean, we talk about, I'm going to go off subject, but, you know, there was originally support for fracking. If you're going to frack in here, I know the subject. The state would have had to spend a lot of money on infrastructure, even on roads. And I like what the governor did, and they've banned fracking. So our backstory has always been, you need to put in infrastructure for farming and farm products. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that should the state go in and help fund some malt facilities?
I think not necessarily the state. I think even local communities. I mean, we're not talking gigantic businesses. I mean, it's not like fracking. I mean, we're not talking hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, we're talking relatively small money here to set up a malt facility.
Like how much money?
Probably a couple million. You know, for one facility.
That would benefit.
Do you guys know? Talk about, you know, the building blocks of beer. Who knows what Sam Adams, the Boston Revolution historical figure, what was his real job? Who knows? He wasn't a brewer. He was a maltster.
That's right.
Oh, and, I thought you meant Jim. Oh. You mean the actual Sam Adams.
Nice historical figure. There was a Sam Adams.
She's picturing Jim Cook. Yeah.
Well, he was like this. He was a revolutionary. He was changing things. But he was a maltster. And all those revolutionary guys had small businesses and artisans. And even back then, maltster is an important person in the community.
Yeah. See, every community had one. I mean, Albany, I think, had three, you know, at one point. You know?
So it's not a situation where you could have a lot of small facilities. You'd need a central large facility.
I think you're going to need several large facilities.
Regional.
I mean, you know, the Hudson Valley is going to grow a small amount of barley, but you know, most of the barley is going to be grown out Syracuse, Rochester area. That's where they grow grain.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes sense that the malting facility would be in that area. I think it also makes sense to put something like in the Albany area, which is, you know, a good distribution point. You know, you're 3 hours from everything, and you're right on the highway.
Yeah.
So farmers can bring stuff in there, and it can be shipped out.
You know, one thing I've noticed the last couple of years doing this show is that everybody wants to talk about hops, and everyone likes to drink hops. But the grain, the malt, is really the building block of beer.
It is. And the other thing is, you know, everybody is, you know, there's a lot of switching over to, you know, to the barley. But, you know, the reality is we're not out of the woods on hops yet. Everybody's like, oh, well, we're growing hops. It's like, well, okay, we're 3 years in. Okay,
yeah.
we don't know everything that's going on with that. There's still a lot to learn in hops. And
when we shoot the happy hour guys around New York State, and we talk to brewers, about, you know, you of course you want to produce, you know, a New York beer, a New York only beer, and they say, well, I'd like to produce it all the time, but I can't get the ingredients all the time. You know what I mean? I don't have a consistent source.
But you will one day, and it's good to talk about.
It's
and you
coming.
Guys, wait, quick thing. Happy Hour, guys. What's going on?
The Happy Hour, we just dropped an episode today, actually a distillery episode out in Colorado, Woody Creek Distillers. And we are about to hit our 300th video episode.
That's
300
great.
Episodes.
All right.
Yeah.
You're a good buddy, man. I appreciate you coming on the show. So last thing. So you, even though you're growing hops and you're growing grains, you're making beer, and you're going to be legal soon. But what beer did you make for us?
Well, I did not make that. we actually met Dan Suarez at Other Half Brewery one day, and we were telling him what we were doing. And he said, you know, I'd like to come up and see what you're doing and make beer. So he did. And there it is.
So Dan, we know Dan. Who knows it? Dan worked at Six Point and moved to Vermont.
Yep.
With his wife, Taylor, and he worked at Hill Farms.
Exactly.
But he made the beer at your farm.
He made it at our facility. That's 100% Indian Ladder Farmstead ingredients. That's our barley. That is our hops.
It's not our yeast.
It is not our yeast, but we're getting there.
But this is a nice beer.
It's a lovely beer.
And what do you think of this? It's fruity.
It's really fruity.
It's very fruity. I think that's
almost an apple.
Yeah, like a pineapple.
I think it's delicious. It's a barley called Newdale that I got out of Canada. It's a two row And a couple of the other beers we've made have had this kind of fruity characteristic to it, and I have to believe it's the malt.
Huh. Cool. I would have said you would say with the hops. So it's interesting.
No, it's not. It's not the hops in this case.
And cool.
And along the hop line, I have to say one thing is that my wife for the last 2 years has been working on a book, which is now going to be published this fall through Chelsea Green. It's called the Hop Grower's Handbook.
And
she is very, very dedicated to hop quality, and that's something that we are going to have to pursue in New York State.
Where is she?
We'll have her on the show. Jimmy, let's get her on the show.
She's been on the Farm Report.
Nice.
Aaron Fairbanks, all right?
Yes. I haven't done the Farm Report yet.
No.
You got to do the Farm Report. Yeah.
Jimmy, you should do every show on this show. It'd be awesome. Just keep changing. Last year, Jimmy came on. He came back from Michigan. He had these big chops, sideburns. He wore camouflage boots.
You're like, who is this guy?
But the next thing you know, we did three shows of Michigan Brewers and Larryville.
Yeah,
and this year, it's like we're going into, you know, New York State farm, hops, and grains. And he looks like a farmer.
Yeah,
he's got a scruffy beard.
You know.
So Jimmy Ludwig, welcome back, dude. I'm going to give one more plug. New York City Beer Week's coming up. And what should we do for New York City Beer Week?
Well, I think you should start off Thursday night at Blind Tiger and come check out that beer, obviously. I think that's a great idea. But, you know, there's so many things. Brewer's Choice is one of my favorites. The opening bash is going to be awesome. You know, and just
the idea that all these bars are going to be pouring great beer, and I think you can't really go wrong anywhere.
I would check out goodbrewsteel.com. There's going to be a great story that week. And my big thing is go on Friday night, February 20th. Go to one of your favorite Good Brew Steel bars. It's 7 o'clock at night. It's opening tap. Every bar is going to have a special beer. And I think we've talked about that a lot. That's the way to kick off a beer week. And then, yeah, New York City Brewer's Choice. We're so proud that everyone's getting behind the local grain thing, whether it's a smash beer, New York State Malt and Hops, or some of the other breweries just making a 30% minimum grain.
Well, just really quick to add to that, you know, at Blind Tiger, we only have one permanent line. And as of now, it's the Brooklyn Green Market Wheat, you know, that supports Grow NYC, that uses local ingredients, that uses local honey, that supports farmers markets. And, you know, I think it's to be in a hub where you can see so many people passing through. It's a great way to educate.
So actually, jump. Cool. So in terms of wheat as a beer product, can you use wheat unmalted in beer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We were just talking, we were at Other Half today, and we were talking to some brewers that were there visiting, and they asked if we were going to grow any wheat. And actually, we're looking at an ancient wheat called the Pride of Genesee that was a historic wheat that was grown for the Revolutionary Army, and we're going to try a couple acres of that this year.
So what percentage of unmalted wheat can you put into a beer that doesn't screw up your system?
Unmalted, I think, is a little easier than malted. I think that it's not being a professional brewer. My understanding is that it's malted wheat that creates stuck mashes and like that. Where I think that the unmalted is less of a problem.
If like the Green Market Wheat beer, for example, if you're making a beer with New York State wheat unmalted, you could do that without a malt facility. Is that correct?
But you only use a small portion. But
you percentage.
The percentage is very low.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of talk about New York grains and hops, but that's happening in New York City Beer Week. Check it out. And anything else? Lindsay, one more thing going on at George Keeley's.
I'm just so happy to be here. Thank you. First time.
Stuart, the other half of Indian Ladder Farms.
We're just ready to get going. We can't wait. And we'll also be at the big cider event in March 18th with Edible Magazine.
Good cider, all right.
Yeah, we're very excited about this.
Well, thanks for coming on, everybody. Again, the New York City Beer Week is coming up. Check out NewYorkCityBrewersChoice.com February 24th. In closing, I'd like to thank our sponsors at Union Beer Distributors who've helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to Dietrich, Stuart, Jimmy, Ann, Lindsay, Dave, and Olivia for calling in, for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks for our producers, Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy, and our engineer extraordinaire, Jack Inslee. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening,